Oh, Lots of movement up here this morning. That's good. Thank you, choir. That was a beautiful song, one of my favorites, and love that they let me come up here and not mess them up too bad, but get to sing with them every once in a while. That's great. I'm so glad that you're here this morning. What a special service this morning, just getting to celebrate with Calvin and his family, and so glad y'all got to be here to share that time with him. And that's always a special time for us. We've gotten to enjoy quite a bit of those. And I know that today, for most of us, a bit somber. Sorry, Jen. But boy, what a great day. For Kent, I couldn't help but think about him when we were singing that song. That he's in the presence of Jehovah today, worshiping with him. And you know, we think we have pretty good worship services here and feel the Spirit move, but it's nothing like there. So what a great time for him. So Jan and Kent's daughter Darcy is with us today, and Jan's son William is here, and then, of course, JD and Jan and all the family. We love you, and you're in our prayers. We know Kent's good today. I mean, he is great today, right? And we're the ones left behind, so it's tough on us. But what a special thing that you're here in church today. This is where he would want to be, right? This is where he would be. So thankful that you're here. And all of you who are visiting today, thank you for sharing in our Sunday morning with us. And we just hope that God will, if he hasn't already, listen, there has to have already been something that touched you, right? But if he hasn't already, we hope that before you leave here today, you'll know you've been in the presence of Jehovah. I'm going to lead us in a word of prayer before we get into God's word today. And let's just ask him to prepare our hearts, make us ready and receptive to what he wants to show us through his word today, and then we'll get into his word. So bow with me for a word of prayer. Father, we come before you this morning, and God, we just confess to you that this service is a little hard today. God, our emotions and our feelings are a little raw. God, because one of our precious family members has gone on to be with you, and we miss him. I thank you today for the hope of heaven and that Kent is with you. And God, as we weep in this place, God, we don't weep where he is or what he has found. God, we rejoice that he's with you today. It's for ourselves that we weep because we're going to miss him. And I pray that you would be a comfort to Jan and Darcy and William and JD and Jan and all the family. Lord, that you would just bless them this week and give them constant reminders of how good Kent's doing and that he's healed and well and with you. And Lord, as we continue through this service this morning already, God, we're thankful to see your hand at work. Thankful for what you're doing in Calvin's life. And God, it seems like every time I hear him, I get a new glimpse of that through his testimony of what you're doing. Thank you for that, and thank you for letting us share that moment with him today and for his family being here. And Father, thank you this morning for the worship time, just reminders of your story, God, of your love for us and what you came to do on behalf of us. And then, God, just that song the choir sang, just reminding us that we can come right into your presence, Lord, when we are hurting, when we have questions and doubts and fears, and God, we can find peace and help and hope there. Lord, this morning as we come to a time in our service when we're going to open your word, we ask that already, God, you would begin to prepare our hearts. God, make our hearts soft and pliable. And God, just open to what you may want to say to us today. God, help us not to miss it, not to miss what you want to say. I pray that you would take your word this morning, and God, just like your word says about itself, God, that it would probe deeply, and God, that it would not return void or empty. Lord, we pray this morning that your word would touch hearts and lives, God, that would be life-changing for us. And God, I pray that we would not miss you in it, that our hearts and our lives would be open to what you want to show us about you and about us and about the world we live in, God, that our hearts this morning would be comforted and warmed in your presence. God, that we'd be stirred and changed, transformed. God, that if there's one here that doesn't know you, that today they might feel the gentle drawing of your Holy Spirit into relationship this morning in this place. For believers, that our hearts, God, might be set ablaze for you afresh and anew. God, this morning, most of all, we pray that your Holy Spirit would be free, free to move and work and stir and convict and step on toes and draw us to yourself, that your Holy Spirit would be free to move in this place. And when we get ready to leave here in a little bit, God, may we leave here without a doubt in our minds that we've been in your presence, that we've heard from you. May we be changed by that. Lord, we love you. We praise you. We give you all the thanksgiving for what you're going to do this morning in this place through your word. It's in your name. Amen. If you have your Bible with you this morning, I'd like for, if you would, to be finding the book of Hebrews. Go to Hebrews, the 12th chapter, Hebrews chapter 12, and we're going to be right at the end of that chapter this morning. We're beginning a new series of messages that God has laid on my heart that I've been working on for some time that I feel like, personally, is quite appropriate, quite relevant for the day that we're living in. Not only that, I thought about how God's timing is perfect, Jan, that the message that God's laid on my heart really speaks, I think, even to what your family's going through in losing Kent. So I really feel like this is an appropriate message, even given that circumstance. But I just feel like we are living in very shaky times. And so this new series that we're going to be looking at over the next few weeks, we are simply calling unshakable, unshakable. Because here's the truth of the matter. I know that in this life, we go through some very traumatic, uncertain, and shaky times. And I look around at our world today, and it seems like they're shakier than ever, right? That we're just living in those kind of times. And one of the questions that always kind of pervades in my thinking is, can my faith sustain me in times like that? Is my faith so real and so genuine that no matter what happens in this world, no matter what things kind of life throws at me, no matter the curves that come my way in life, Jan, can my faith sustain me in that? I have to tell you, and this has been the biggest blessing to me for the last couple of weeks, visiting with Kent and going through this, his faith was not shaken one bit by the prospect of leaving this life and heading to the next, was it? It was not shaken. Kent was so ready to go and so determined of where he was headed that I'm going to tell you, he died with no fear and knew he would be in the presence of the Lord. Folks, faith works. And in this shakable world, we need something to ground our life in, don't we? And all around us, when earth is giving way, when life is giving way and circumstancing are threatening our undoing, we need to know, will my faith sustain me? Matt Chandler, one of my favorite preachers, has written a new book that's been out now for a couple of months that's called Take Heart. And I like the title, Take Heart. It kind of speaks to what I'm talking about, that in this day and time when we can be so discouraged by the headlines and by things that are happening in our world, I love just the title of that book, Take Heart. Don't lose heart, take heart. And he writes in that book this great statement, and I think it kind of sets the tone a little bit for where we're going in this series. And so here's what Matt Chandler says in this book, Take Heart. He says this, when I look at the current cultural landscape, the political situation, the economic situation, the racial divide, global terrorism, the numbers leaving the church, the growing hostility toward God's word, I begin to feel afraid. Maybe you're like him. Then he says, I get that impulse, but we can't sit in fear. We can't let the fear grip us and cripple us, robbing us of our joy and holding us back from living faithfully and holding out the gospel. It's okay to feel fear. That's normal, he writes. That's human. We're weak and frail. But we must not stay in that place. We must move beyond it. We must learn to lean on something bigger. We must find something greater that transcends it. Or rather, we must learn to lean on someone greater. Don't you love that? We must learn to lean in this shaky time that we live in on someone greater, someone bigger. I often say this, that no matter what happens in this life, God is still on his throne and he's still in control. And we need to live that way as believers, and that kind of victory and that kind of hope. And that's what this series is really about. It's really about us over the next few weeks leaning into God's word, seeing it, what it has to say to us about building this kind of unshakable life in the midst of this very shakable world, in the midst of a world that's often uncertain. Another of my favorite Bible teachers has to be Beth Moore. I don't know if you've listened to Beth, read any of her books, or boy, every time I read something that she says, read something she wrote, listen to her, she knocks it out of the park. And she makes this statement, and it just kind of resonated with me. She says this: faith is not believing in my own unshakable belief. Faith is believing an unshakable God when everything in me trembles and quakes. You know what I like about that quote? Is that it's just honest about who we are. If I'm going to be honest with you, it's almost impossible for us not to face the times that we're facing without a little bit of trembling and quaking within us, right? Jan, it's impossible to go through what your family's gone through this week without being shaken by it in some way. It's impossible. But the truth is, and what she says in this passage of Scripture, our faith, even though it may at times feel shaky, is in an unshakable God, who can sustain us through those times, whatever we go through, whatever we're facing. And kind of a key thought or kind of a key takeaway in this entire series is going to kind of go something like this. God gives us everything we need to navigate this shakable world with victory and courage. He does. Or like Matt Chandler says, so that we can take heart, right? Or so that we don't have to have faith in our shakable faith, but we can have faith in our unshakable God. He gives us everything we need to be able to do that. I don't want you to turn here, but before I get to the text, I just want to share with you one of my favorite psalms that really has kind of been a go-to for me, especially when I look around at the things going on in our world today. Don't turn there. We're going to put it up on the screen. But this is kind of a psalm that became kind of an inspiration for me when I started working on this series of messages. It's simply Psalm 46, the first three verses of that psalm. And they say this. Just listen to this and cling to this. If you're a believer here, listen, you need to claim what this verse is saying for you, and you need to lean into the truth of it, so that you understand whatever's taking place in your life, whether it be the loss of a loved one or some catastrophe, disaster going on in your personal life with maybe your family or with your work or whatever it may be, you need to hear what the psalmist wrote here. Here it is, Psalm 46, the first three verses. Look what it says. It's on the screen. And maybe write the address down so you can look it up later. But the psalmist writes this: God is our refuge and strength. Not anything else. You won't find that kind of strength in yourself. That's shakable. Okay? But God is our refuge and strength, a very present help. In other words, he's present, right? He's there when we're going through shakable times. A very present help in trouble. Therefore, what's it there for? Since God is our refuge and our strength, and he's always present in the midst of our trouble, therefore, we will not fear, even though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though its waters roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with its swelling. You get it? What he's saying to us is, listen, no matter what happens in this life, no matter how shakable this life becomes, the difficulties that we face, the hardships we go through, the quakes of this life, no matter how tough it gets, listen, we know our God is a refuge and he is our strength in the midst of trouble. He's present. And even if the world shakes and quakes at the latest headlines of our day, you know what? We can stand victorious because of our God. And I love that. And that's kind of what the writer of Hebrews says. That brings us to our passage in Hebrews, the 12th chapter. We're going to look at the last few verses there, go down to verse 25, read on down to the end of it, and hear what the writer of Hebrews is saying. This is kind of our introduction to our series. And so we're going to look at some very basic things this morning about building an unshakable life. And here's what the writer of Hebrews writes. Look at this. He says this, "See that you do not refuse Him," speaking of God, "who speaks. For if they did not escape who refused Him who spoke on earth," and that's making a reference to in the Old Testament, the wilderness wandering, when God's people rejected His voice and turned against God and against His messenger Moses. So that's what he's talking about there. "For if they," that's them, "did not escape who refused Him who spoke on earth, much more shall we not escape if we turn away from Him who speaks from heaven, whose voice then shook the earth. But now He has promised, saying, 'Yet once more I will shake not only the earth, but the heavens also.' Now this, 'yet once more,' indicates the removal of those things that are being shaken as of things that are made, that the things which cannot be shaken may remain. Therefore," and I love this, "since we are receiving a kingdom which cannot be shaken, let us have grace by which we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear." Listen, I'm going to tell you something. When you read that verse, some people read that verse, that passage, and they fear what he's saying. "Once more I will shake not only the earth, but the heavens also." But that verse is filled with good news because here's what it says. Those things that are shakable are being removed so that he may replace them with things that are unshakable. And that's what this message is about. That's what this series is about. How do I build my life on things that are unshakable? The Global Earthquake Response Center says, and this was interesting when I read this week, that an earthquake occurs somewhere in the world every single day. Did you know that? Every single day, somewhere in this world, it physically shakes. The ground beneath us shakes. That's interesting. But you know what? I wasn't surprised by that, right? Because here's what I know about not physical seismic earthquakes that shake somewhere in the world every single day. What I know about life is that every single day, life is filled with quakes, with things that threaten to shake us. Shake us apart. We go through those things. Sometimes they're small magnitude type things in our life that maybe we barely feel the tremor, but it's just enough to keep us up at night, right? Just enough to worry us and cause us to fret and to get our eyes off of our God and onto our circumstance. At other times, they're huge things that can shake us and quake us, like the loss of a loved one, right? Or other things. A bad diagnosis from a doctor literally can shake us to the core. Bad news at work. Your services are no longer needed here. Well, that can shake us, right? I mean, think of all the earthquakes, all the quakes that happen in our life personally. Every single day, we're facing those things, experiencing them. And it can get very personal for us sometimes. Well, my big question is, what's the writer of Hebrews telling us? How do I navigate this life that's filled of so many shakable, uncertain times and uncertain days? And listen, read the latest headline. Go home and just for 15 minutes, don't do more than that or you'll get depressed. Go home and for 15 minutes, turn on one of the news stations and your life will shake, right? I mean, it's every single day we're bombarded by these earth-shattering, earthquaking things. And can I tell you something? I've been pastoring now for over 30 years, okay? About 30 years in the pastor, about 4 years in the youth ministry. So I've been doing this a long time. I've seen many people within churches where I've pastored whose lives were so shaken by the earthquakes of life that they dropped out of fellowship with God in the church. I've seen it happen. They couldn't handle it. They began to fear. They began to doubt. They began to quake to the point that they even doubted how good this God is who said, "I am your refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Though the earth give way, I will always be present." I got to tell you that, listen, if your life is shaking today, and I know there are some in this room whose lives are shaking with some circumstances, I know the answer. I know where to point you. I know where to direct you. towards a place where you can find stability and a foundation and something to build your life on that will help you in those times to be able to navigate them with victory through those times of shaking. And you go, well, where are you getting that in this passage of Scripture? You read a few verses there, but I don't really see it. Let me give you a bit of a background to the book of Hebrews so that you understand this passage somewhat in context this morning and you kind of get what he's saying. We don't really know who wrote the book of Hebrews. It's kind of a big question. And if you go and you kind of study the background of this book a little bit, you'll hear different ideas about who wrote it. But the truth of the matter is the book or the letter itself bears no inscription. We don't know who wrote it. But what we do know is the occasion of its writing. We know who this writer was writing to. The book of Hebrews is actually a letter that was written to Jewish believers, Jewish converts to Christianity, whose lives were literally being shaken by persecution that had come against them. Now, sometimes in the Bible, you read about persecution. For example, on Wednesday nights right now, we're studying the book of 1 Peter, and we're talking about the persecution that broke out against the church and Christians from the Roman Empire, from Nero. We're talking about that. That's the context of Peter. This is a little bit different, because in this particular situation, the persecution that these who are receiving this letter was coming from their own people. The persecution was coming from other Jews who did not like the fact that these Jewish people had converted to Christianity. They turned on them. Many of them had family who said, "You're no longer a part of our family. You're dead to us." They kicked them out of their families. They kicked them out of their homes. They began to boycott their businesses. And what you read, if you read the book of Hebrews, is that many of these that the writer is writing to encourage in that time of persecution, many of them were shaking so badly that some of them were contemplating abandoning the faith. And the book of Hebrews is written to encourage that. I mean, think about that just a little bit. What would you do if your entire family said, "I want nothing to do with you ever again. I cut you off. I want nothing to do with you"? It would cause some quakes in your life. It would cause you to kind of feel that sense of despair. And perhaps you would begin to cry out with things like, "God, where are you in the midst of this? How can you let this happen?" That has to be the heart of these in the book of Hebrews who are being written to here. So they're on the verge of becoming martyrs for Christ, or maybe abandoning their faith. Life had gotten pretty shaky for them. And it's in the midst of that that the writer of Hebrews writes these few verses, 25 through 29, in chapter 12, and talks about the shakiness of life and the answer to that. How to build a life that doesn't shake like that. Now again, I've titled this message by that title, Building an Unshakable Life. And this is just kind of the introduction to this. I just want to give you two quick things this morning in the little bit of time that we have. I want to just give you two quick little points here. I want you to jot these things down. We'll be fleshing these out over the next few weeks during our study, but I want you to stay with me on this and kind of hear me. These are some things this morning I can give you right from Hebrews chapter 12 that you can build your life on that will help you in the midst of shakable moments in your life. They'll give you strength to stand when life begins to shake. So here's the first one. You ready? Jot this one down. This is how you build an unshakable life. So first of all, if you're going to build an unshakable life, you have to learn to give attention to the voice of God in your life. Can I say it just a little bit different way? You have to learn to give attention to the voice of God. Just to kind of rephrase that or state it, you got to learn to listen to God. You got to learn to listen to Him. You see, here's the truth of the matter is, we're mortal dust people, right? So when things in this life bounce out of control, of course they make us shake. And what we need is something to speak into that that gives us stabilizing factors, that gives us something that helps us to settle down, to calm down. Buddy can tell you firsthand experience. When my life shakes, if I can get alone with my God and get some time in His Word, I can find a peace and a comfort that surpasses all of that. And it's true. And you may think, well, that sounds too simplistic. That sounds too trite. That just sounds like one of those kind of gimmicky kind of ideas. No, I'm telling you the honest truth. I've experienced some pretty shakable moments in my own life. Some moments that really would threaten to undo a lot of people. I mean, I could go back and kind of classify those for you and kind of name them out for you. But I've been through some of those times. And I will tell you something. Listen, when God speaks into that, he brings a calm and a peace and a strength. You know how God's word says that he can give us a peace that passes understanding? It's really true. He really can. Whatever we're going through. I will say this to you. I know that some of you guys worry about me sometimes. And I love that you do that. And you come along and you encourage me in so many ways. But I'm going to tell you something. I'm okay. I really am okay. Because no matter what happens in my life, I know who's got me. I know whose I am. I know where I'll be one day. And I want to listen to his voice, his perspective. I want to have God's eyes on this. Listen, when I look at our world today and the rest of the world is shaken and losing control, I want to go, you know what? I know the one who's still on the throne who calls the shots. And I've also read the end of the book, and we win. Right? So listen, guys, don't let the affairs of this world get you down. Don't let them shake your faith. And you go, well, that sounds easy to say. I recognize that. It's easy to say that from a pulpit, but I'm just telling you, listen, God can sustain us in that. He can. So here it is, that first thing. If you want to build an unshakable love, it starts by you learning to listen to the voice of God, learning to give attention to his voice in your life. And is that not exactly what the writer of Hebrews says? Look at verses 25 and 26 again in your Bible, if you have it there with you. Look what it says. It says this: see that you do not refuse him who speaks. And notice in your Bible that him is capitalized, so who is that? It's God. See that you do not refuse him who speaks. Right? You know what that's telling me? That no matter what we're going through as believers, God's trying to speak into that. But you know what often happens with us? We don't hear him. We refuse to hear it. And when I say the word refuse, it makes you think, well, I'm not intentionally refusing it. There's a lot of reasons we don't hear God when he speaks. Sometimes because our eyes are on the wrong thing. We often get our eyes on the circumstance, on the things that shake us, rather than on an unshakable God, right? Or we get so busy with life trying to fix it, right? I'm a fix-it person, right? We get so busy trying to fix it that most of the time, you know what happens? We make it worse. And all the time, God is trying to speak into it, and we're refusing him who speaks by trying to handle it ourselves. Folks, listen, this is great counsel from the inspired word of God. See that you do not refuse him who speaks, verses 26 and 25. For if they did not escape who refused him who spoke on earth, much more shall we not escape if we turn away from him who speaks from heaven, whose voice then shook the earth, but now he has promised, saying, once more, I will shake not only the earth, but also the heavens. What he's telling us is there's coming shakeable time. There's very shakable times that we live in. It's almost like the writer of Hebrews hundreds of years ago is warning us in advance that on this day, culture would be shaky. That on this day, our political figures would be shaky. That on this day, what we see happening in our world might cause us to shake. Listen, hardly a day goes by that there's not some mass shooting somewhere. There's not some riot in some street, or we're not hearing about some homeless problem somewhere that's out of control. We hear it every single day. If you let it, it can unnerve you. It's almost like the writer of Hebrews saying, listen, the time's coming when the world, the earth, and the heavens are going to be shaken by all of that. So what? Don't refuse him who speaks into it. Don't refuse the voice that's there. I'm going to give this to you really quickly because I know I'm going to run out of time, but I want to give these to you. This is just three quick ways that God speaks. Don't discount this. Just three quick ways God speaks. And I know I can't spend a lot of time on these, but I just want to give them to you. Primary ways. Number one, he speaks through his word. This is the word of God, the inspired word of God. He speaks through his word. I don't understand believers who don't love, crave, spend time in his word. God speaks in his word. And this is not just a book to be studied. This is a book for us to lean into, to hear God speaking through it. And you go, well, you mean really you're one of those kind of old-timey kind of preachers, old-fat, who really thinks that God speaks through his word? Absolutely, 100%. I believe God speaks through his word. If I didn't believe it, I'd quit doing what I do. I wouldn't stand up here and preach. I believe God speaks through his word. I do. And I'm going to tell you, Christian, listen, if you want to build some foundations into your life that will help you to be able to navigate through the shakable times that we live in, Get in a good Bible study. Every single Sunday we stand up here and we say, listen, we have great Bible study classes. And I'm going to tell you, this church does. We have got quality Bible teachers all over this church who Sunday mornings at 9:30 are faithful to prepare and teach God's Word. Find one of those classes. Get into it. Study God's Word with a group of other believers. I'm going to tell you, your heart, your life will be strengthened through that. Not only that, develop a time when you spend time in God's Word yourself. Don't let God's Word gather dust through the week. Open it. Use it. Study it. Read it. And you go, well, brother, buddy, I've tried that. I just don't get anything. I don't understand it. Listen, if you're reading it and not understanding it, keep reading. Keep going. Keep studying. Keep praying. Say, God, I don't get this. Show me. And I can promise you, if you do that, if you're faithful to it, God will begin to open up His Word to you and feed your heart and your soul. It's amazing to me how I can read a passage 100 times and come to it on a day when my life is shaken and all of a sudden something emerges from it that I needed just for that moment. And God calms the shakes, right? I mean, that's what it is. God's Word. So He speaks through His Word. Second, He speaks through His Holy Spirit. He's doing it right now. He's convicting some hearts and stepping on some toes and moving some folks and maybe making you uncomfortable. And maybe you're one of those here this morning. You're going to go, what the heck am I doing here? Get me out of this place. What is that going on inside of us? I just believe that when God's Word goes out, one of the ways He speaks is through the power of His Spirit in our life. And one of the ways that we refuse is we hang on to a pew. We try to silence the voice. We say, oh, I hope old so-and-so's listening because they really need that, right? When the truth of the matter is, listen, God's Holy Spirit is good. God loves you, and He sent His Spirit in order that He might speak to us. And yeah, maybe it steps on our toes, and maybe it makes us a little bit uncomfortable. That's because He speaks truth into our life. I'm going to tell you, listen, you begin to heed the voice of the Holy Spirit, and God will do some things in your life that will be life-changing. They'll bring a stability there. And then third, sometimes God speaks through other people. Now, I don't buy into this thing where somebody comes up to you and says, God told me to tell you. I mean, if they do that to you, then you kind of go, well, when He tells me, then okay, I'll be on the page with you. That's not what I'm talking about. I think that God puts godly people in our life, godly counsel, that we ought to have a heart that's humble enough to receive it. And here's what he's saying. Here's what I know, and one of the reasons I think that the church is so important, and I don't think that I'm the head of the church. I don't. I think Jesus is the head of the church. Okay? This is His church. But here's what I think. You know, the truth of the matter is, Jan, a lot of people in this room know how to comfort you and help you because they've been through it. Not exactly like you, but they understand something of what you're going through, and they understand how God can comfort. And so God can use you, if you've been through this, to be a comfort to Jan, to speak into her life in that time. And that's the same for all of us, isn't it? That we all go through things and we share common shaking moments. And you know what I need in my life sometimes? I need for you to speak into my shakable moment and say, listen, this is something God showed me. This is something God did for me in that. This is how God spoke to me in that. And you know what? He uses that to bring comfort and peace and to help me through those times. All right, I got 2 minutes. I got one more point. You ready? I'm out of breath. Not only did Calvin make me dunk him up there, but then I ran out and changed and sang, and then I had to come preach. So I'm tired. All right, here's number two. You ready? So building this unshakable life, as simple as this, learn to listen to the voice of God. Second, you ready? Build your life and hope on things that are unshakable. You want to go, really? Is that it? Duh, right? But yeah, we so often build our lives on things that are shakable. We base our happiness on things that are shakable, and then we wonder why we shake when those things come crumbling apart. Begin to build your life brick by brick, layer by layer, on things that are unshakable. Build it on that. I think I can't say anything more personal, more direct than that. And I look around today and I see even some Christians who are basing their happiness, their life, their life's meaning on things that are shakable. And I'm telling you, you're going to shake if you build your life and your hope and your happiness on things that are shakable. You know why? And I've thought about this. You know why I thought Jan, that Kent was able to navigate that time so well. He loves you and he loves his family. I know that. But here it is. Kent laid his head back the other day and went to sleep and woke up with Jesus. And he wasn't afraid of that because he had built his life on a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And he knew where he was going. And Jan, he was happy with you and he loved his family and all of those kind of things. But he recognized that wasn't what he could build his life on that was going to sustain him. It wasn't. He loved having you there, but guess what? He had his eyes fixed somewhere else. He was ready to go. I'm going to tell you, listen, build your life on what's not shakable. And when this life begins to shake, it can't shake you. It's like you have this hope and this grounding in these things. I love this little devotional book that's called Everyday Light. Selwyn Hughes wrote it. And here's what he said. Just listen to this, and I'll close with this because I know my time is gone. But here's what he said. Listen to this. Great little word from Selwyn Hughes. He said, every kingdom is shakable except the kingdom of God. Wow. I got to stop there. Every kingdom is shakable except the kingdom of God. The kingdom of communism is shakable. It was held together by force. Relax the force, and as the world has witnessed, it goes to pieces. The kingdom of finances is shakable. The stock market goes up and comes down with the events of the day. The kingdom of health is shakable. The doctor says, I'm afraid you have an incurable disease. Shakable. But in a world of flux, be assured of this. Christians are people who belong to an unchanging person and who dwell in an unshakable kingdom. God is allowing kingdoms to be shaken so that they might discover the unshakable kingdom, the kingdom of God. Build your life on things that are unshakable. Bow with me for a word of prayer. Father, we thank you. We thank you for this day, for this service. God, just for the things that are taking place in this room today. God, I know it's not about me up here. I stumble through this message. I know it's not about what church we're sitting in. I know it's not about that. I know it's not about who's singing today or who's playing the instruments. It's not about any of that, God. This is about you. This is about you speaking into our lives at a time when we need to hear it the most. God, when on a personal level, many of us are shaken by the events of this week. And God, on a family level, many of our families and homes are being shaken by the things taking place in our culture. God, our world is being shaken. But God, this morning, as we dig into your word, I thank you, Father, for the comfort and the peace that you bring us in the midst of that. I thank you for the foundation and the stability that we can rest our lives on that gives us hope in the midst of that shaking. Because God, today, no matter what happens out there, God, we can plant our life in a God who is our refuge and strength and a very present help in trouble. God, if there's one here today that's never trusted you, God, I pray that today they would give their life to you and begin to build an unshakable life on Jesus Christ. God, for believers in this room whose lives have been shaken by tragedy or difficulty or struggle, I pray that in this moment they might find that calming, soothing, peaceful voice of yours that speaks into that. It says, peace be still. I'll carry you through this. Help us to find comfort in that. God, for those who are looking for a group of believers to come and worship with, to grow with, to study your word with, to build an unshakable life with, God, if this is the place you'd have them to be, draw them this morning. God, our praise and our thanksgiving, all honor and glory goes to you today. We lift you up. And we ask you to draw others to you this morning in this place. God, during this time of response to you, give us the courage to step out and come. And God, we'll give you the praise and the honor and the glory for what. It's in your name I ask these things. Amen. Would you stand?